Happens to be that today, Dal Cheshvan is the yard site of the Piazetzna Rebbe. Piazetzna Rebbe is also known as the Eish Kodesh. If you're not familiar, the Eish Kodesh was a collection of Divrei Torah, Divrei Chizuk, that Piazetzna Rebbe gave when he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. He's also known as the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. And he died in 1943, Dal Cheshvan, outside of Majdanek, or near Majdanek, part of the Harvest Festival. We don't have time to go into it now. But his teachings, the Chovos HaTalmidim, Hachsheres HaVreichim, Shav Viziras, Derech HaMelech, Eish Kodesh, has made a tremendous impact on so many of us. Some of you last night were at the Hachnasas Chanukah Sabayis of the Shul Eish Kodesh here in Beit Shemesh. Some of you know the Eish Kodesh from Woodmere, the Shul. He's made a tremendous roshem on contemporary Jewry, myself included. And I happen to see, works out the way that today is the yard site, but there's, to my mind, so many similarities between the teachings of the Eish Kodesh and the things that I personally received from Rav Benny Eisner. In fact, if I had to give a title for Rav Benny, it would be the Holy Fire, the Eish Kodesh. Rav Benny, was fire. One of the most well-known, perhaps the most well-known teaching of the Chovos HaTalmidim, of the Piazetzna Rebbe, of the Eish Kodesh, which he says is really a central idea in all of Chassidus, is that it's not enough to have an intellectual connection to Torah. An intellectual connection on its own is not a kesher shel kayama. It's not a connection that can last. Ultimately, if a person wants to stay connected to God and to his Torah, he has to have an emotional connection to it. He has to see in the Torah simcha, he has to see joy, he has to be emotionally connected to it. That's a connection that will ultimately weather all the storms in life. And few have had to weather storms like the Piazetzna Rebbe. And there's few people I know in my life that had to weather storms like Rav Benny Eisner. And yet, he had that emotional connection. That's, I think, what he gave over, the passion, love, fire. In fact, the first speaker, I don't know how many of you understood the speakers, but the first speaker of David Chai Cohen, who's he's a Rosh Yeshiva in Bat Yam, he's a Yeshiva Hezer in Bat Yam, and the Rav of Bat Yam, and he's also teaches America's Arab, he was the first speaker, which unbelievable hesped that he gave. And one of the things that he said, which struck me, was that Rav Benny was able to accomplish with his heritage, with his emotion, what so many others cannot accomplish with their seicha. I think that perhaps sums it up. You saw the thousands of people that turned out at 11 o'clock at night on the Motzei Shabbos. I don't think anybody who came there could have thought, certainly those of us in our little English-speaking world could, you know, believe how many people it have been impacted. And all the thousands that were there does not include the thousands of people in Chutzlars, some of them your own fathers or uncles who spent years here at BMT, that he made such an impression on. Benny would introduce himself as Benny. I need Benny. That's it. No titles. No seeking of honor. The only thing that he sought out is where can he have hashpa? Where could he have more hashpa? Where can he have more influence? And he was sent by Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook. who was his Rebbe, son of Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook, who took over Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav, who is a guiding light of Rebbe for so many of the great rabbis here in Israel. He was specifically appointed to come to this building, the BMT, and to bring the Torah Tagula, as it's called, the Torah of Rav Kook, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, to bring and teach it to American boys, which wasn't being done. And BMT was really the place that really started this whole business of coming to Israel for the year, for American boys coming to Israel. Yeah, they were Israeli yeshivot. Yeah, they attracted a few boys. They had an American program. But to have a, like, Torah Shraga, which is purely catered to Chutz Laaretz boys, boys coming from the diaspora, we are certainly, in both physically and in a sense, you know, spiritually, a hemshech of that vision. Now this parsha of Lech Lecha, parsha of the call to go to Eretz Yisrael, that was the clarion call of Rav Benny Eisner. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I didn't go to BMT, I went to a different yeshiva, but I had a lot of friends here. I spent some time here, hanging out here with my friends. And everyone spoke about Rav Benny. I remember one of the things that they, you know, they told us, you can believe this Rav Benny guy, he tells us that it's better to live in Israel amongst, be the one Jew amongst a whole city of Arabs than to live in Muncie or Borough Park in the United States. What kind of crazy thing is that? What a crazy idea. To live in a place where you're going to be totally influenced by the surrounding culture. You know, all right, so you're in Israel. So what? But to live amongst Arabs, better to live there than to live in Muncie or Borough Park. We didn't know he was quoting Chazal. We didn't know that Chazal say. We didn't know that Kol Adar B'Chutz La'aretz Kilo Ein Lo Aloka, you know, one who lives in Chutz La'aretz, it's as if he has no God. We know that the rabbis themselves said it. We could have just some crazy Rav Benny. Again, I just heard it secondhand. But he made such an impression on my friends. And so many people are here in this country today because of Rav Benny Eisner. So the call of Lech Lecha, the first word spoken to the first Jew, is such an important message. So you want to argue, there's a whole machlokes, even though it seems like almost all the Rishonim are on one side of this. Maybe there's a das yachid that maybe opposes it. Whether or not there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, contemporary mitzvah today. Today, November 1st, 2011. Is there a mitzvah today that one must live in Eretz Yisrael? Almost all the Rishonim agree that there is. There is a machlokes achronim, whether it's a mitzvah chiyuvis or a mitzvah chiyuvis possibly, whether it's an obligatory mitzvah that you must do, or you're not obligated, but if you come here, you do fulfill a mitzvah. But as far as what is the ratzon habore, what does God want? Is there any question what God wants? The Torah, you read the Torah, is there a question what God wants of every Jew? That he wants us to be here. Technically, it's humus, humus. But he wants us here. And that was the message that Rav Benny gave us. And many answered the call. Some still on the way. Benny was part of history in many, many different areas. One of the things he used to tell over often is the now famous speech that Rav Yitzvi Yehuda gave in 1967, Yom Ha'atzmaut 1967 in Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav. May 1967, Ratzvi Yehuda gets up at Yeshiva America Zarav, and he says, it's 19 years, celebrating 19 years of establishing the State of Israel, but at the same time he was crying, because we're incomplete. Our land has been cut. The heart has been cut out from our land. What about Yerushalayim? What about Hebron? What about Beit Lechem? What about those places? Rav Tzvi Yehuda cried out. And just 3 weeks later, Rabbeni was one of those who, the first to arrive in Beit Lechem, the first to arrive in Hebron, and they saw Kiilu, the Rebbe, Kiilu, he had Ruach HaKodesh. Yerushalayim, just 3 weeks later, we were in Yerushalayim, we were in Beit Lechem, in Hebron. Rabbeinu was a part of that. He saw it with his own eyes. And so he lived, his whole mahus was, we're part of the redemption. This is a step in the redemption of the Jewish people. One of the perhaps lesser known things about Rav Benny Eisner that I got to know about a little bit when I was here in Gris Kollel, and Yom Narayim, in walks Rav Benny with Nathan Sharansky. Came to daven here in Gris on Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Benny eventually told us a story about his personal connection to Nathan Sharansky. Now, I don't know how many of you know who Nathan Sharansky is, how many of you read the book Fear No Evil, and if you haven't, it's kedai to read it. It's an unbelievable story. One of the heroes of Jewish people. And before Gilad Shalit, and maybe even after Gilad Shalit, the most famous prisoner exchange that I remember was the exchange of Nathan Sharansky, who was being held in a Soviet prison. And he was finally freed. It was around 1985, 1986 maybe, when he was freed by the Soviets. He was the most famous refusenik. Many of your parents were at these rallies in America to free Nathan Sharansky. And as Rabbi Rokhefet says, that was really the beginning of the end of the Iron Curtain. Is really the call for Nathan Sharansky to be free. His wife, Avital Sharansky, had been freed a number of years before Anatoly Nathan Sharansky. And Avital Sharansky was adopted by the Eisner family. She was a bat bayit. They had just gotten married, Nathan and Avital, right before they were separated. And she became the symbol of the call for freedom for Nathan. And she was adopted by the American Zarav community, and specifically by Rabbeinu Eisner. And devoutly religious woman, and eventually to be reunited with her husband. But Rabbeinu Eisner, very, very close, he did close friend of the Sharansky family. And I've been to many smachot of Rabbeinu, and Nathan Sharansky comes. Maybe if we're lucky, he'll be come and speak here about Rabbeinu as well. Rabbeinu was kulo orot hakodesh. He's a source of holy lights, illuminating, lighting a fire so that others may be warmed by it. Medrash, at the beginning of this week's parsha, mentions that Avraham Avinu it gives a mashal to Avram hearing the word of Hashem of Lech Lecha, gives a mashal to a person walking and he sees Bira Dalekes. He sees the palace, or he sees the city on fire. And he says, it's E'efshar Bira Belomani. It can't be that there is a palace, that there's a city without a master, without a ruler, without a king. And perhaps you can read into this medrash, I'm sure it's been done by some Chassidish Rebbe. But if there's a Bira Dalekes, if there's a city and there's a fire in that city, a fire of holiness, a fire of someone that's illuminating people, you see that there is passion, there is emotional attachment. From there, you can see that there's a God in the world. And Rav Benny lit that fire in Yerushalayim. From what all that he did, lighting the fire in the hearts of so many. You can see just from that there's a God in the world. There must be a man here. His fire was a fire of warmth. It was a fire of love. As was quoted a few times on Motzei Shabbos, the Binyamin Amar Yidid Hashem. He was Yidid. He was a friend. Yidid means a friend. Yidid is a friend. You just hear him. I'd be running to some office there and he goes, come my dear, come, let's learn something. Come my dear. And he'd sit me down and pull out some Or HaKodesh. See what love can accomplish. And those of us who went to Poland with Rabbeinu last year, I think we'll ever forget. Yidid is also a lashon of the word Yidid is made up of yad and yad, yad to yad, hand in hand. Sitting with Benny hand in hand with Lieutenant Colonel General Eugene Leibovitz, hand in hand, walking the valley of the shadow of death, one camp after another. And I don't think anyone will forget the speech that Rav Benny gave last year. I'm referring to the one, many, but the one I'm actually referring to is the one he gave in the Krakow Shul. The previous night, just to those who weren't there, the previous night, the speaker got up and he said, basically, that it's okay to have doubts. You know, a person goes to Auschwitz and he sees the destruction of European Jewry. It's natural to have doubts whether there's a God in the world. And it's okay to have doubts, to continue with doubts. But Benny did not like that at all. He was going wild. And I was supposed to share a room with him during the Poland trip. And he came back and he was like, Rav Tzvi Yehuda says! There's no question to the Buddha! There's no doubt that there's God in the world! But Tzvi Yehuda said it! He was screaming louder than I was. He said, I have to respond. He was supposed to speak the next day. I said, Rebbe, just, you know, it's okay, let's take it easy. Like, no one's listening anyways. You know, no one's asleep. I don't know. And the next day he spoke. And boy, did he speak. No, there's no doubt. This is a God in the world. A person can have questions.
You can have questions. But there's an address to where you could pose our questions to. The first speaker last night on Motzei Shabbos, he was asking questions. How did you take Rebbeinu from us? Who's going to be the source of Achdus for the Datim when we camp, if not Rebbeinu? How can you take it from us? That's a legitimate question. But there's an address. We talk to God and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you do this to us? Who's going to teach? Who's going to teach the Torah of cooking in Torah Shari?
Tells us a story.
Tells the story of that in that shul. He was driving Motzei Shabbos. Little bayah of his grandson. 5-year-old boy. It was the Motzei Shabbos after the Ofra, after the Shabbat Takan of Tzvi Wilbur. The Kolo. He would marry his daughter Buria the next day, Sunday. And they were driving that Motzei Shabbos. Because his grandson died on the Shabbos of the Shabbat Chatan. And he was driving one of his other grandsons, who was 8 years old. And he says, Saba, why didn't Hashem take Yaakov Yitzchak, I think his name was. Why did he take him dafka on the Shabbat Chatan of Buria? And Saba, I have another question. Why did Hashem take away with my father? But then he also lost his son-in-law. And there's Rafeni listening to his grandson crying. I said, I don't know the answers to those questions. But my grandson had who to ask. There was an address to ask those questions. And we have an address. We can ask those questions to God. We know if we have the answers, we don't have the answers. But we have no doubt in the world. We have no doubt whatsoever. Full 100% conviction that there's a God. And one day we'll get those answers.
The Medrash of the end of Noah. I'll say this very quickly. Medrash of the end of Noah tells a story about Avram and Kishon Eish. Famous Medrash. And Avram is given a chance. Give him a chance. Are you willing to bow down to the God of fire? Or are you willing to be consumed by fire? Now Haran was also there with Avram. And he was also going to be subject to further questioning by Nimrod. But Haran was watching to see what's going to happen to Avram. And he's saying to himself, the Medrash says, if Avram was going to be consumed by the fire, so I'm with the God of Nimrod. And if Avram's not going to be consumed by the God of fire, then I'm going to be with the God of Avram. And Nimrod gives Avram one last chance. What are you going to do? I'm willing to go into the Kishon Eish. He goes into the Kishon Eish and walks out. You all know the story. And then Nimrod turns to Haran and says, Haran, who are you with? I'm with the God of Avram. I'm willing to go into the Kishon Eish. And he
And he walks into the kitchen of Aish, and he's burnt to a crisp. So what do you learn from that? The kitchen of Aish is hot. You're burning to a crisp. Besides that, what is this in Avram Nahara? Avram walked into the kitchen of Aish thinking he was going to die, but willing to die for the Baruch Shalom. Willing to die for the belief that there's a God in the world. He lived his life with conviction. And so, God performs a miracle and he walked down. You see, but Haran, he walked into the kitchen of Aish thinking he was going to live. He didn't live a life of conviction. And so, what happens when you walk into fire and you get burned? Many waters who live a life of conviction. To do things with seriousness, with unwavering faith. That comes from.
Many did not publish any svarim. Unlike many of his contemporaries, many of the other students of Rav Tzvi Yehuda published many, many svarim. One of his good friends was Shlomo Aviner, I don't know, 200 svarim. So Benny, to my knowledge, did not write one sefer. But what he did to Katav Aluchot Libei, he wrote, he made an impression on the walls of our hearts. And hopefully that will be everlasting. In us, in our children's children, we are the Sfarim. Us and all of his other students, the thousands of people who showed up, thousands of people in America, we are his Talmuds. He's the Kol Baruch. Please turn off the recordings.